everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. Bob is engineering our show on the other side of the glass today, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, September 22nd, 2017. The program also re-airs tomorrow morning, Saturday morning at 7 here on KVOI. We come to you live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, and of course we have our worldwide live listening, all of our shows, pretty much since we started the whole radio thing back in January of 2011, all are archived for you. Very simple to use at buckmastershow.com. Just put the newsmaker's name in there and we'll get you there to that show. Our media partners on Friday, we like to say thank you very much. TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com. The Tucson Media Group is now joined up with Buckmaster and partnering. That group includes Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business, The Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Also, we want to thank Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. All prominently display the Buckmaster logo on their websites with an easy link to our show. The Friday Focus interview today, the mayor of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us. Joining me in studio with the mayor is Tim Steller, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, how are you? And I'm very happy that I sent you a message to leave now.
Yeah, that was studio. At 8 o'clock this morning.
Well, I
started crawling.
Bill, I was going to make an over-under with you whether Tim would be 1 minute early or 1 minute late,
well,
and he
it
came
has
in.
Really helped that I have been sending him these messages the day of the show at 8 o'clock in the morning. That way he can start his track here to the KVOI.
Avoiding that terrible Tucson traffic.
There
that's
go.
Right.
There
all that go. Construction that's now underway.
Unbelievable when you pave those streets.
I tell you, I know. These streets, I tell you, what are we going to do about all these streets? Mayor, how are you?
I'm good, Bill.
Let's begin with this this project that came before the council this week, and this is the University of Arizona dorm for their honors college.
Sure.
And it was originally a six-story building. Apparently, it's going to be pared down to about four.
Yep.
Councilman Kasacek, when he was on the show Wednesday, was a little concerned that it may set a precedent where a developer would then donate, put that in quotes, to the state, the property, and then to the university, and it would circumvent city zoning laws.
Well, it is true that, however, the university or the state comes into possession of property, and this is still an outstanding issue, and they can show it's their property and going to function as a university operated entity, that there are no longer city zoning application, and that's true. But in this case, Bill, I'm going to say that we've made a lot of good progress. The university engaged outside counsel, and they've walked through a process with our community, with the folks that live in that area, that very much replicates our zoning processes. Dr. Robbins has really shown a commitment to real community engagement. And as a result, from the initial proposal, they have eliminated balconies, rooftop amenities, or a pool. They've designed solar lighting, alley access. They're going to do a lot of traffic mitigation. They're going to pave Park Avenue, and they're going to do drainage and green space, all of which are the kind of things the city is looking for. So the issue that was in front of us last week was part of what they want to do to make this a more attractive project is to take the little block because it's two parcels of Fremont, mm-hmm. and turn that into a pedestrian area, close the street.
Mm-hmm.
And there are issues that go with that. But the fact of the matter is everybody has agreed that that would make it a better project, including all the neighbors, because obviously cut that traffic out of that mm-hmm. area. So the conversation this week, and it's what the university has agreed to, is if you do everything that you've told us you're going to do mm-hmm. so far, and it doesn't foreclose having additional conversation, and this is the part Councilman Kasacek has stood on, and rightfully so, if when we're all said and done, we don't have zoning rights, then we'll hand over Fremont. And So it's a conditional or a subject to agreement, but it's an agreement that allows the university to plan for things like traffic mitigation, for floodwater control, for traffic control now, because assuming everything goes appropriately, they want to get this thing up and running. So that's where we are. And it's actually part of it being, I'm going to attribute it to President Robbins, the change in sort of approach to the community has, this has been a good example of how it can work.
Let's bring Tim Steller into the conversation.
I wonder if there really is a threat of any other state entity doing this kind of thing. In other words, there's University of Arizona, obviously, is the big player, especially in that part of town. But if we're talking about a principle, like Steve Kozacek is saying, of donating land to a state entity and then avoiding zoning laws that way. Is there any other entity that would do that in the city of Tucson?
I don't see it. And it really is. I mean, the university really is the player, I guess you want to call them that, the entity that we need to work with. For instance, I think what got us off on the wrong foot, which we've corrected subsequent to that, is the university wanted to have us convey a whole series of streets. And it was like, wait a second. And so we rolled back from that and we said, look, we're going to do this on a case-by-case basis. Because it is true that the university as it now stands, and this will be something the community will face for years, is landlocked. I mean, if you look at the campus, there's not a lot of space. I can, think of some, and you can probably think of some, but there's not a lot of space. So where they're at is they can go down, and we're trying to encourage and working with them, go down to the Bridges area, okay, go down to the Tech Park, which is much further out, or they really have to work around, south of 6th, north of Speedway. And those are difficult community conversations, but they're going to go on. And I think that's what Steve's concern is. Look, let's make sure that if they're going to do this, that it be done in a way that's really genuine and the university's really operating the properties.
So in essence, you have to have some leverage. And if you have leverage, you can cut a deal that's good for the neighbors or that takes them into account.
Leverage, I think, is the word that we were using at the council meeting. and I was trying to say this is our leverage. One, closing streets is a big deal. So if you want that street, work with us. And two, you have to do, for instance, if it was the university and there's probably going to be, Tim, some opportunities in the near future because remember the state just granted to the university system a whole lot of money for bonding. If they buy the thing straight out, kind of game over, and so that's a concern.
The AC Marriott Hotel is the first hotel to open in downtown Tucson, a new hotel since the 1970s. They accepted their first guests yesterday, so those people were waking up this morning in downtown Tucson as the first guests of the AC Marriott. That's a wonderful good news story, but at the same time, as so often is the case, the good and bad of life, right? CVS announcing today, the pharmacy chain, that they're not going, apparently don't want the old Chicago Music Store.
Yeah, well, let's address them both.
Okay.
Get at least a little good news in there. you're right, 1972 since we built a hotel downtown.
Do you know what hotel that was?
I think it was the Santa Rita.
What is now the
Hotel Arizona?
Hotel Arizona.
Yeah. It has to be.
And but this 8 stories, 130 rooms, 6,000 square feet of retail space, which will be helpful. The brand itself, the AC, is one that is all over Europe: Paris, Nice, Marseille, Milan, Barcelona, Madrid. In the U.S., Atlanta, Boston, Chicago, Miami, New Orleans, Seattle. So we can run in some pretty good company.
The concept has really been popular in
Europe. Yeah, and the other thing, and we were talking about this, Bill, is I'm still stick with my 5 T's, technology, trade, transportation, tourism, and teaching. We've really seen, at a time when international tourism is down, we're really seeing an uptick in tourism in 2016. We had 6 million overnight visitors and $3.3 billion in direct spending to our local economy. That's from the Arizona Office of Tourism. So, yeah, having that hotel downtown is something that I think is really going to help.
And the Visit Tucson annual numbers are in for, this is their annual report, $212 million economic impact. They're very happy with these numbers.
You know, that U.S. City of Gastronomy thing has been wonderful. Now, the CVS, the first I knew of that was when I read Gabby's story this morning. Sometimes that's how it happens for me, you know, and oftentimes. And so I don't have the detail on that. You know, good news, bad news. I can tell you that I'm sure there's a whole lot of people that are thinking, and I'm not necessarily thinking this way, but you know, good. You know, this will give us an opportunity to get something. And it's really been interesting. There's no, you know, prohibition. But if you look at downtown Tucson, there aren't chains. It's all mm-hmm. very much homegrown, and it has a nice feel to it. Whether that, you know, is it always going to stay that way? I can't imagine. So we'll have to see why CVS. I mean, I'm interested to know because I just want to know for the future. Why did they pull out? What's the concerns? And so I'm interested to find out and talk to these guys.
What about Hotel Arizona? Are they going to reopen, do you think?
Tim?
Yeah. Like no, that was my question too. What are you hearing? Because the last we heard, they got okay from Rio Nuevo for to move ahead, but we're going to go to the city to ask for something. You haven't been asked anything?
Nothing. Yeah, the last I heard was what you heard. They got the whatever they got from Rio Nuevo.
I believe $20 million.
You know, is that enough? We don't. Yeah. When they're all said and done with the rebates. And they haven't been to us yet, and it would be wonderful if they can go ahead with project as is with the Rio Nuevo work. If they're coming to us, we'll have to take a look at the project, both in terms of what the need is to really get it done and what they've gotten from Rio Nuevo. And in what we've said from the beginning is, look, we did a deal with AC Marriott. We did a deal with the University Hotel, which hasn't gone up yet. Once we make those kind of deals, we can give you what we've given other people, but probably won't give you less, maybe in this case, since they've already gotten some of them, but we can't give you more, you know, and so we'll see, but that we haven't seen anything yet. Tim.
All right, we'll take our break right here, 12:17 exactly on the Buckmaster Show. Tim Steller sticks around, and as does the mayor. We'll take our break. We'll be back with Mayor Rothschild on our Friday Focus interview right after this. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Don Jorgensen and Jim Kelly, plus Dr. Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes is the CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Tim Stellar is here from the Star, shaking his head. So happy with hearing that music. Little Steely Dan there. Mayor Rothschild also with us and on the live line waiting patiently. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to ask the mayor a question. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, good afternoon, Jim. Mayor Rothschild. I've always hesitated to call and complain about anything with you because I've lived outside of the city, but you have now annexed me, so now I'm a citizen of the city.
Oh, God, you should have told me it ahead of time.
So here's my thing. You tend to be negative about chain stores downtown, but the reality of it is this. Chain pharmacies have better buying power, are more technologically advanced, they are connected to our work insurance, prescription supplemental insurances. No mom and pop, you know, compounding apothecary can do that. And so, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to servicing the people of downtown who need late night pharmacy, they're not, you know, they need something within walking distance. Okay.
Well,
Jim, you wouldn't be so negative.
No, well, first of all, Jim, it wasn't me being negative. I said that there are probably people who will say, oh, good, because, you know, everything downtown is so far there aren't chains here. So I'm not negative about it. And really at this point, because I just learned about it this morning, I really kind of want to find out why they chose not to come. That's really my next job, is to find out why they chose not to come. But the fact of the matter is, what you're right about is there's, in today's world, almost all of these, what we used to call traditionally drugstores, are, whether it's Walgreens or CVS, that's about what there is. I mean, we do have some of our local guys, and they're great, and we want to promote our local guys as much as possible. But over time, it's going to be very interesting to watch how downtown evolves between that solely local flavor and what else might come.
I mean, to me, it's a sign of health. In any given downtown, when the chains want to come in, they see there are customers to be to attract.
Yeah. What is one of your pet projects? Is this mentorship, citizenship, second chance program? The Citizen Resource Fair is coming up this Saturday, right?
Yeah. Well, there's and there's a lot of things. Obviously, we could talk all day, or I could talk all day, but you know, between economic development and the need for that to be able to have social services. Well, both of them have to go parallel, strong as possible all the time. A couple things that I've taken up because I think they're just important. One, in our community, we have close to 33,000 people who are eligible for citizenship, who haven't taken citizenship. Mm-hmm. We're working with Cities for Citizenship, which I think now is up to 40 cities, and really trying to get out to people to let them know how to become citizens. And tomorrow at Catalina Magnet High School from 10 to 2, we're going to have a citizenship resource fair. And there will be information from people who do this on the naturalization process, where to take citizenship in English classes, financial assistance, and more. Fact of the matter is, when people become citizens, it improves the legal and financial security of those families, and it makes for a stronger community. And so I'm going to push that with all the resource I have. The other thing that I've taken up recently, and the Arizona Daily started a wonderful job of getting the word out, is mentorships. What we know is that all those groups in our community who mentor are in need of mentors. And without sugarcoating anything, they're particularly in need of men of color. And so we are reaching out and working with all those groups. We have a portal at mayorrothschild.com. If you go to it and hit on mentors, it lists all the groups that mentor in the community. You give information, it goes straight to them, and then they get back to you. We were looking today, and so far, through only our portal, we know we've gotten about 80 people show interest. And we know also that from these agencies that a number of them are seeing people come in. So it's working, but we have to keep pushing and pushing. And that's another thing I'm going to push as long as I'm mayor, because that's how, you know, from a social service level, where we are as a society, even though the local government has very limited resources, we have to push these things and win one mind and one heart at a time.
Here's Tim Steller, the Star.
Mayor, I've noted a couple months ago in a column that got some people unhappy that while we've had some really good economic news here lately, and downtown specifically seems to be booming, the job numbers are really not good for Tucson lately, and the growth is just kind of slow.
You know, Tim, I see those numbers, and then I see other numbers. Today, we got listed. Residents listed is the second best place in the United States today.
What do you mean? Second best for what?
Quality of life.
But
here's the thing, Tim, and I get you, and I've almost come to the point of like, I'm on the ground. I see it on the street. And I see where people are at, and it's a pretty dang good place to live, okay? But I don't think there's any question that, and this has been going on for, as long as Bill and I have been around.
30 years here in town for me.
Longer for me. Yeah. You know, we did not focus on economic development. And so our median wages are low. And actually, the one thing the city council has done, and where you've seen all of these things come out of generally city projects, is the primary jobs incentive, where we're able to give people breaks if they can bring in jobs, certain amount of jobs with over 125% of median wage and health care benefits. That's been really successful. It's slow. Moving that needle is slow. And, you know, the economic development part of it, I will tell you, you know, well, I read somewhere recently that, you know, we have to address our issues as a city first before we should go after some major companies. And I have two problems with that. First is bringing in a major employer, and I don't care who it is, helps with all those issues. You've got to get that base. And as a community, everybody's got to be hands on deck, and everybody. And we weren't that as a community. The Tesla case was probably the first time, and quite frankly, that was me getting lucky with Mark Kelly, who was a friend of Elon Musk, which is what got Tesla to town. You know, we're still a second city, and that relationship, you know, the Phoenix folks making that work, I think a state is stronger when you look at states when you have a strong second city. So, you know, we have to work, and quite frankly, a frustration of mine has been that there's not been enough commitment in this community to economic development. But every time we get that chance, we have to put our best foot forward.
So, but do you think that that's the priority then, the recruitment of these big companies, or is it the priority something smaller and more?
They go together. I don't even want to say parallel. I think it's the same time. Every time, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a big company, okay? But every time we get a company, and we've had a whole lot of 300s, 400s, mm-hmm. That helps, okay? It helps. But at the same time, we can't wait to fill every pothole or remove every piece of graffiti or graduate every child. Those things work together. And that's, by the way, that's always been my philosophy of this, is that we've got to promote economic development because that will give us the additional funds to work on these other things. It's no excuse if you don't have those funds not to work on those other things. But I will tell you, my experience has been, where our success has been a lot of volunteer efforts in our community. I would love to see it where there was some ability from, you know, the city or the county to put more to things. But I think that the two absolutely have to work together. And I get it, where there's a fair criticism, it needs to be made. That's because we learn from fair criticisms. But at the same time, it's really important, because when we go out, you know, the other cities, I will tell you, they show whoever the company is, oh, this is what they're saying about you in Tucson. And I've seen it. And
probably done it, huh? To other cities?
I don't even got to get, you know, I'm always concentrating just getting our people.
All right. We are basically out of time, but Robert has been patiently holding. So I'm going to ask the mayor to answer his question in about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Robert.
Mayor, do you think that everything that you're talking about is a better use of our time than squawking about global warming, the Paris Accords, and melting guns?
You know, it's interesting, because I'm very much a person who believes in working on the core services, police, fire, water, the things we've been charged with, transit, parks. But at the same time, and the guns, by the way, in my belief, is very much a local issue. And I think the Supreme Court was recently very wrong in deciding that it isn't. And by the way, if you look around the United States, one of the things that hasn't really come out, sort of not an issue now, many states do exactly what the city does, six states, many cities, 35 major cities do what Tucson does or was doing. And there is a place for local control. At the climate level, which was your other question, the world was pretty united. And I think what mayors did in general was to say, we're going to remain united as a country because we're at the local level. What is tough when you take on those national or world issues is, it is true that the local government only has a certain bandwidth. And so how much are we going to be able to do with climate control? We can certainly do the best we can with our city resources. We can do some incentives for people to do better environmentally. And we can ensure and set an example. And that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Okay, Mayor Rothschild, thank you very much for coming in today. Hope you have a great weekend, Mayor. Thanks for coming in.
You guys too. I'm looking forward to Tim on Sunday. You never can tell.
I don't know what he's planning. Probably he'll hatch the column when he leaves here on the Buckmaster Show. Goes over to the Rincon Market, have a little lunch, a cup of coffee, and start scratching his head about what the column will be. Am I close or no? You've already got it ready.
He's in the, believe me.
You noticed I got here early today.
I did. Yeah. Okay. What's the topic?
It relates to the healthcare debate.
Good.
Okay.
Did you get Senator McCain's most recent?
Yeah. So Senator McCain is opposed now to the bill, and that may doom it. That changes how I have to write about it.
That dang Senator McCain. Yeah.
Well, we're going to pick up on that in a few moments with Tim and Dylan Smith, also from TucsonSentinel.com, because it is a big story about what the senator has decided to do. All right, let's take the break right here. Our Friday roundtable with Stellar and Dylan coming up right after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and distinguished professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our Friday report on the Buckmaster Show is our Friday roundtable. Dylan Smith has occupied now the seat that the mayor was presently occupied in the first portion of the program.
Does that mean I get a gavel or
that
something?
That means you're like an honorary mayor or something. Dylan Smith is the editor-publisher of the now almost 8 years old, the TucsonSentinel.com.
Getting up there.
Tucson's online service. Well, it's hard to believe that the Buckmaster Show will celebrate 7 years in January already. Dylan, where does time go?
News in Tucson, Pima County, Arizona in general is just the gift that keeps on giving for reporters. So it's, it's, you know, it just one story after another.
Tim like Steller. Today. Tim Steller is here today as well. Tim and Dylan, let me just read you just a very quick quote from Senator John McCain in making up his decision today. He says, "I cannot in good conscience vote for the Graham-Cassidy proposal. I believe we could do better working together, Republicans and Democrats, and have not really tried." So what does this mean? Tim, you were just saying you've got a column about health care. You're going to have to maybe do some quick revision.
It goes from prospective to retrospective.
Yeah.
just change all the verbs.
Yeah.
So fast tense. What does it mean?
Well, it sounds like it's doomed, right? Because we know that all 48 Democrats are against it, plus Rand Paul, plus John McCain, and then both Senators Murkowski and Collins voted against the last a couple efforts.
And then they seem, at least Collins especially, seems to be leaning against this
right,
one too.
Right. So, I mean, it sounds like it's doomed. And from my perspective, that's probably a good thing because it never really was, and this will give you a hint to my column coming up, much of a healthcare solution. It was a political solution to a political problem. And the political problem was that they had promised not to to repeal Obamacare. And so there's the feeling that we got to get this done. You know, this is our biggest unifying campaign pledge. And yet, not that anyone offered was, practically speaking, better than the existing system. Or it didn't solve the existing problems. Let's put it that way.
Despite having a decade now to come up with an actual different sort of plan, all the plans proposed by the Republicans are just reactive. It's, we're going to do something that doesn't look like that, that doesn't have Obama's name on it, which they put on Obamacare. You know, there was the GOP that tagged the Affordable Care Act with the name Obamacare, thinking that that would somehow doom it, exercise in bad branding on their part, perhaps.
But this was the centerpiece for so many Republicans, including from Donald Trump down
for
the
years
whole,
now, but especially in last
ticket,
year's election.
That and the mantra was repeal Obamacare. Mm-hmm. So what are the implications then for Republicans with the midterm elections now? Pretty much just a year away.
It's really confusing to me, actually, because on the one hand, it's if they don't pass it, it's a violation of their pledges, right? That they were going to.
But this would be
this.
The very first time that a politician has broken a campaign.
Right,
promise.
Right. It's not
unprecedented.
Unprecedented, right? Most of them will be able to say, "Well, you know, I did my darndest."
It was that damn John McCain.
Such as you're right, except for that dastardly John McCain. Jeff Flake, of course, had committed.
Have you read
to
his
it.
Book? Jeff Flake's book?
I was reading it this morning, mm-hmm. and I found some things in there some principles that he laid out that he, in my mind, seems to be violating with his support for this bill. Namely, his commitment to deliberation, bipartisanship, not doing things on a majority-only vote. He said, if we're going to do things on a majority-only vote, we shouldn't even have a Senate. Why have one? We have a majority-only body in the U.S. House of Representatives. That's Jeff Flake's in his book, which was published a couple of months ago. And today he's going along with a majority-only mm-hmm. idea.
How does that help him in his battle to win the primary, which I keep hearing Dylan polling that he's quite a bit behind?
I don't know if he's behind, but it's a lot closer than you might think it would be. I mean, there are a couple polls of how reliable they are.
So Senator Kelly Ward is pretty former state senator is pretty much going to be Flake's competition,
and we'll see who else might still,
Jeff DeWitt,
jump in there.
Treasurer might get in. Or?
There's a possibility that the anti-Flake vote would be split in the primary, and he could glide through because of that. You were asking about the repercussions
yes.
of this bill going down. This is really the last chance this year to pass it on a straight majority basis. The rules that they were working under, they call it budget reconciliation, their opportunity for that ends September 30th. They're not going to have time to probably not going to have time to come up with another bill to be filed and work its way through, even under the sort of limited debate. So the next steps, if they want to try and keep moving with this, would involve a lot more involvement from Democrats, especially in the Senate. So you get back to that problem of needing to attract some Democratic support to get something through. And that's just not going to happen.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I feel like it could happen. It's just a question of what you want to do within the bill. You know, it's this negotiation, compromise, all that kind of thing. That's what both McCain and Flake have talked about repeatedly.
But something that you could reasonably, of course, what in politics these days is reasonable, but something that you could reasonably brand as having
repealed. Right, yeah, you're never going to.
Democrats aren't going to go for that part.
Well,
Fixing things, making things better, tweaking this, modifying that. That's politics.
I'm sure Democrats would agree to calling something a repeal that is not really a repeal. That might be a place for compromise.
Tim Stellar and Dylan Smith with us. Tim, it was kind of ironic, actually, your column Wednesday, right, about the Amazon situation.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that Amazon said we do not accept gifts. Kind of funny, but...
It wasn't an expensive enough gift.
No, we don't accept gifts when... how big are the incentives to this whole deal?
Multi-million dollars. Yeah, the thing was we offered them a prickly gift. I mean, literally and figuratively.
It did get a lot of attention, though.
Yeah, that's right.
For
a lot of us locally thought it was kind of a stupid idea to send them a saguaro for various reasons, one of which being that, of course, a saguaro will have a really hard time thriving in Seattle climate, even if it's indoors.
It would have been interesting, actually, if it had gone up there to see if it would survive, because Amazon has this, what's the word I'm looking for, this huge glass.
Biodome.
Sort of miniature biosphere.
And they have these really cool plants from like Madagascar.
But the biodome they have is a high humidity place.
Okay. That would have been a problem.
Would not be good for a saguaro at all.
So, right. I mean, they did get some attention out of it. And they can, you know, I think basically locally from people like me, Sun Corridor got quite a bit of criticism. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they did get noticed by, you know, mentioned in the New York Times. And it isn't always about winning, especially in a competition like
getting
this.
Getting
noticed does help. So I'll give them that.
Is Barbara LaWalle, the Pima County attorney, in trouble? Dylan, the Board of Supervisors will be auditing Ms. LaWalle because her office basically handles what's known as the RICO funds. That's basically drug money.
Yeah, these are the funds that get confiscated generally through a civil forfeiture action and then are supposed to be doled out for crime fighting, anti-gang activities. And as we know, because somebody was found guilty of it, at least some of these funds ended up being spent by the Sheriff's Department on things that they should not have been. And there's a question about how much more there might be out there and who else knew about this, both in the Sheriff's Department and possibly in the county attorney's office. Whether an audit will come up with anything that really causes a legal or even political problem for LaWalle is, I think, a little bit questionable. It would have to be, you know, something much, much more than we've seen to date. It's really the duty of her office to sort of rubber stamp the requests for funds that come in. And, you know, it's not incumbent on her to really dig into every request for $50 or $500 that comes in. It would be an overwhelming task.
Well, I mean, isn't it her duty, though? I mean, you said it's her duty to rubber stamp it, but if she's
it's the duty of the people who are asking for the funds to be asking for things that they should be asking for.
Sure, I guess. But she's a check on their ability to spend the money.
You know, we'll maybe see just how much more widespread this may have been or whether it was as limited as some of the folks at the Sheriff's Department are saying.
I mean, RICO, how many times?
It's good to look at how we're spending public money.
Absolutely.
I think every reporter would agree on that.
Especially these RICO funds. How many times have people been indicted around here over the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years? It's a cycle. You know, it happens every few years, and it's because it's so tempting. You know, people dip their hands in the till or they spend it on things that are they shouldn't be spending on. I think it's more of an endemic problem with the system than with any individuals or agencies.
RICO stands for, I guess, anti-racketeering.
Yeah, racketeering-influenced corrupt organization.
Thank you very much. I've got like 1 minute to go, and this is no time to bring it up, but I'll bring it up anyway, just because people will maybe want to read Tim's column. I hope they do, about the whole open meeting requests. It's far too complicated.
I'm going to quibble with you on that.
Oh,
I caught that this morning. You're saying that no reporter would structure public records requests that way?
Wait. Why don't you explain what I'm talking about?
Request by Allie Miller. Mm-hmm. For rather extensive records at the county. Those requests last year, she copied the language from my public records requests and broadened the dates quite a bit and asked for records involving many more people. But the language in them
the
is
11 points are all
straight
yours
from
well?
Mine.
The 11 points are all yours as well?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Well, that's not something I'm familiar with. I never ask for anything as sweeping as that because my intention is always
I don't
look
ask for
the needle in the haystack.
I didn't ask for like a year and a half or whatever that stretch that she was looking for. I asked for specific dates on this day, yep. In this week.
We are out of time, but can you both of you just tell me what the bottom line is?
Well, yeah, I mean the issue is that a supervisor is making vast requests, mm-hmm. which. She can do, but the problem is, my argument is that a person should be more targeted in there or more specific in their public records requests.
I don't see even the vast requests that she's made, which are much vaster than any have ever been asked of the county or I think any local government. I don't think they're unreasonable and that there's any grounds for saying no to them. I mean, we see... this sort of information asked for all the time when you're trying to investigate something. If you were trying to find out what's going on at the Defense Department or something like that, you ask for a whole lot of documents.
All right. Dylan Smith will look for your work at TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, Dylan.
You bet.
And Tim Stellar will look for the piece on healthcare on Sunday in the Star. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. All right, Weekend Watch, hosted by Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, is brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great weekend getaway, certainly, or even longer. 15 degrees cooler to that mile-high elevation, anywhere from 55 to 7,000 feet. Oh, this makes a beautiful time of year to hike in the Gila National Wilderness. The aspen trees are starting to turn. It's a great time to take a trip to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now award-winning Tucson publicist and the Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, Matt Russell. Matt, if you tell me there's another restaurant opening today, I don't know, another opening, another show? Isn't there a song about that?
I can Jeez. Barely keep up. But
what's going
on? On breaking news, the place to come for new restaurant opening news is the Buckmaster Show, of course.
Yeah.
And the announcement of the newest restaurant to open in Tucson comes along with my announcement that it just might be the biggest restaurant in all of Southern Arizona, and all of its 20,000 square feet is Culinary Dropout at Grant Road Lumberyard, just east of Tucson Boulevard. They call this place a refuge for rule breakers. And this big building is serving up even bigger appetites for comfort-driven cuisine and creative cocktails. The 36-hour pork ribs got my attention. What a surprise. It even has a gaming area called The Yard with shuffleboard and cornhole and other tailgate kind games, which I think lends itself kind of nicely to a happy hour today, which starts at 3 p.m. I'll see you at the Culinary Dropout, Bill.
What a great concept. What about beer? Beer going, of course, hand in hand with the upcoming October, and people
Absolutely.
Love October and Oktoberfest, and beer goes hand in hand.
It's all like a big puzzle coming together, and nearly all of Tucson's craft brewers have been preparing for battle this past few weeks, and it all comes down to tomorrow night at Hotel Congress for the annual Tucson Beer Cup Born and Brewed competition. Now, if you check it out, you're going to be surrounded by suds of every style, from light pilsners to big and boozy stouts. And after some sampling, you can cast your vote for your favorite. Some great snacks from the Cup Cafe and live music will pair beautifully with these beers tomorrow night at the Hotel Congress.
Don't they do the Oktoberfest still up on Mount Lemmon?
They do, and it is my favorite celebration of the month. The season for sausages and suds is finally here. You said it's the most beautiful time of the year. I could not agree with you more. Oktoberfest kicks off this weekend right up on Mount Lemmon at the base of Ski Lift there. Live German music, a buffet of German sausages and sides, some European beers to wash it all down. Now, of course, we want you to eat and drink responsibly so you can come down from that mountain safely just in time to make plans for next weekend's Oktoberfest. As they say in Germany, Bill, Prost!
Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Thank you very much with Weekend Watch. You do a great job. Thank you. Matt Russell, our host of Weekend Watch, he does indeed know what's going on when it comes to the culinary scene. Charles Heller, of course, hosts Weekend Watch this week. Charles conducting a live on-air Government 101 seminar to educate, quote, the hired help, unquote, in elective office. Liberty Watch on AM 1030 KVOI. 11 a.m. Sunday, right after, you know, that swap shop train's a-coming with Mr. Heller on Sunday morning. The Bill Buckmaster Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. There's so many people that we like to thank on Friday, kind of the credits day, if you will, at the end of the program. Starting with our original music composed by a fine young German, Munich, Germany composer. His name is Christophan. He did all the original music for the Buckmaster Show. There's a link to this guy that does such a great job in the musical world at buckmastershow.com. Bob Dio, thank you, Bob, for your help today, engineering, producing the Buckmaster Show, and all of the people here at KVOI wishing you the very best this weekend. Hope it's a great weekend. Have a good one.